sisters, brothers, comrades, and friends. Someone once commented that poetry was language music. Black poetry is clearly our language music, our synthesis of rhythms and symbols and signs and sayings that reach deep into our psyche, into our emotional and spiritual states of being. It's an important part of our experience. Malcolm was a master of Black language tradition, a rhetorician, a slogan maker, a word fire speaker. And therefore, it is quite appropriate that our cultural event be focused on poets inspired by Malcolm, grounded in the tradition that he was a part of, and fighting to maintain that tradition and keep it alive in art in a country where art is more properly sold as a commodity, whether it is Xmas or Christmas or any other time of the year. And therefore, there is a heroic resistance going on as this poetry is going to be spoken in resistance to the culture that we are experiencing in this country. Even more than what I've said, what's important about tonight is that the impresario, the leader, the organizer, the manager of tonight's program, last year we called him the Poet Laureate of Black Liberation. This is one way of summing up the importance of Amiri Baraka. And perhaps one really doesn't need to introduce Amiri in an audience of Black people, certainly not Black people in this area. But it is important to remember that when a writer becomes so involved in the Black Liberation Movement that he is persecuted, that he is excluded, that he is attacked, because having to eliminate him is the only way, along with other sisters and brothers like Jane Cortez and Sonia Sanchez, who were with us last night, only by negating them can the right-wing conservatives claim ascendancy and grab a hold of the culture. And therefore, by having Amiri Baraka here, regardless of whether that university over there in that other state wants to give him tenure or not, having him here is a proclamation that we understand that Black art is an integral part of Black liberation, and that we want an art that continues the movement that Malcolm was a part of. And so without any further commentary, I'd like to introduce Amiri Baraka. Please join with me in welcoming him.
Thank you very much. At this moment in history, we're being savagely attacked by rising fascism. Historically, this is a continuing expression of the slave empire, the national oppression which continues to carry it, and also the downward swing shows again of our Sisyphus syndrome, where we struggle upward, and then as we make some progress, they heap together the forces of reaction to try to drive us back down. What is different about this period is that since the 60s, there is an expanded sector of the reactionary Black petty bourgeoisie and a larger straight-out comprador class to legitimize imperialism and white supremacy. We got a retrograde trend of Negroes now to add to imperialism. I think that they are hatched somewhere under the commode at Stanford University. They keep popping out. But it seems clearer and clearer to me that not only do we need a united front, not only a Black united front, but a united front of all progressive forces in this society, but eventually an independent political party, and time is a-wasting. Not a political party that's going to go to the Democratic Convention and sell out to the Democrats or rub up against the Republicans, but an independent political party. We're still talking about self-determination, self-respect, and self-defense like Malcolm X. And I would add, at this moment, it's important that all of us start to function, that we accept no racism in word or deed, wherever we get it, in the university, on the pavement, in high school, in job, in a store, that we accept no racism, neither word nor deed, that we accept no Confederate flags, that we accept no First Amendment cover-ups, that we struggle intensely and furiously, and the more furiously we struggle, the more progress we're going to see. The reason that we jumped on some of these real black exploitation films is because, of course, people like Spike Lee and also the neocon people want to use us, want to use black struggle to make money. And so I think it's important for us to take a stand. They're trying now to distort Malcolm X's image, to distort him for the insurgent youth. Books like Bruce Perry's psychopathological tome, or the Socialist Workers Party, which now wants to franchise Malcolm, and sues brothers like Abdul for even trying to publish a Malcolm X for young readers. But I tell you one thing before we start. When I was on a program, Night Watch, with Bruce Perry, which never aired, because the question that I asked Bruce Perry that seemed to make them shut the program off was, I asked him, what is your real name? And that was the last we heard of Bruce Perry. So this is about cultural revolution. We said in the Black Arts Movement we wanted a poetry that was not only identifiably African-American, but two, we wanted a poetry that would come out of the libraries, that would come out into the street with the people and start to rumble with the rest of the Black Liberation Movement. And finally, we wanted a poetry that was revolutionary, that would help make social transformation. We have some poets here tonight who are in that tradition, I think, of poetry for social transformation, poetry for revolution. I'm going to call their names. They're going to come out, and we're going to start. I'd like to just begin, before I call their names, with this one little poem written recently called X. Everything we don't understand is explained in art. The sun beats inside us. The spirit courses in and out of us, a circling translucency, pumping Detroit red inside, deep through us like a sea. And who calls us bitter has bitten us. And from that wound pours Malcolm, little by little. We'd like to introduce now Amina Baraka, Greg Powell, Rashida Ismaili, Tony Medina, Zaid Mohammed, Avinda, Kevin Powell, Luis Rivera, Raz Baraka, Ariane Pope, and Amidi Baraka. Thank you very much. Poems for Malcolm X.
Ode to Malcolm. Everything must change. Mass talking man, Omaha born, growing from Detroit streets, the Klan left ashes of the truth. God is known to be dead, and Satan stalks behind iron bars in search for why black is hated is turned into knowledge. Big Red is reborn a fire black, and truth screams in his eyes. His voice is now a weapon for the people. He cuts down our enemies with his tongue, calling black Americans, black people around the world to come together, to forge an iron fist against our enemies, to fight for our lives, to take a life for a life. Turn no cheeks, bleed for no one until we bleed for ourselves. He said it until we heard it. When we heard it, through our own experience, believed it, we turned on all lies. We took up with the truth. We took up with Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm, and we fought back. Once again, there were slave rebellions. The plantations was on fire and the house niggas couldn't help. The field slaves was in charge. Wage slaves breaking chains, burning ghetto streets, scorching the face of imperialism, revealing racist America. And on February 21st, 1965, a bullet pierced the skin of the Afro-American Liberation Movement, and the blood flowed from El Hajj Malik's body. Some people wreaked fire. It was clear. The enemy knew. He would never, no, not Malcolm, would never turn the other cheek. He could not be bribed. He could only rage like an oppressed nation in battle for its life, fighting imperialism, pouring out the roar of the masses. He says, struggle. That's the solution. He struggled through murk and betrayal, leading us, teaching us, explaining errors, fighting for clarity, never giving up. He carried the torch of liberation like new steel. He shined, serving the people. With his last breath, he cried out in the search of a revolutionary organization. Stumbling in the absence of science, he struggled on, moving, carrying millions with him. And the state shot him down, trying to stop that which cannot be stopped, the fury and resistance of the oppressed masses. We stand here today, clearer and stronger than yesterday, more prepared than before, carrying the lessons learned from Malcolm. We move from spontaneous rebellions to scientific organization, to party building, to revolution. This is Malcolm's legacy, and this cannot be murdered. Everything must change.
Greg Powell, February 21st, 1991, walking by the ruins of the Audubon. In an hour of tears, whipped by nightmare wind, I remember a resurrected prince whose eyes, ordained by Garvey ghosts, touched deep inside the black heart. I remember Malcolm at Audubon raising long, thin fingers in plea for peace. A cold, rainy day, America blew him away. I stand there on this day and stare at walls. Meringue blares from black-windowed car idling on Broadway. Boys on bikes dart in sparse traffic of moving feet. A ragdoll man naps on cot of concrete beneath walls. Another hair, a matted field of locks, curses a lamppost. I stare at walls. Wood and concrete barriers hide ancient bullet holes within. A fungi of spray-painted script spreads over building. It is gone. I look for eyes, voice that chiseled souls into pyramids, fingers that planted explosives in frightened bellies and sabotaged fears. They are gone, blown away on a cold, rainy day. A ragdoll woman, slave of the glass pipe, shuffles on bare feet, conversing with a hellhound, gnawing on her mind, stops to beg. I shake my head, step aside so she can shuffle by. I call out to the stones. The stones are deaf. They echo retorts of bullets and stoically await sentence for transgression of once fortressing our dreams. Wait under shadows for executioners swinging lead ball. I hear the retorts. Blurred gunmen ravage soul. I lose my mind. Harlem sky cracks, raining needles and crack vials. Gold bodies hang from lampposts. Ragdoll man's locks curl into vipers coiled to strike. Ragdoll woman's explode and blood rains. Red rain of Shabazz's tears. Concrete grave mounds stretch down street. Horseback demons in helmets and butte blue uniforms swing flaming clubs and howl. The hellhounds on my trail. Red tears crawl down face. God showed Noah by the rainbow sign, no more water but the fire next time. A balm, tonal potion, unleashed from memory, washes over me in baptismal waves. Voices drop down the main line from heaven, ring mellifluous harmony, seasoned with rich spice fires of a thousand years. I turn and see three long, lean, tambourine shaking, testifying doo-wop brothers, draped in rhythmic textiles of kente, feet stepping in motions of a Zanian boot dance, wide sunrise of smiles spread across gold faces, rich voices joining in communion of one voice, flavored in fires of a thousand years. God showed Black Noah by the rainbow sign, no more water but the fire next time.
Something hits me that I ain't felt since my church days, when my body would shudder and shake, convulse and quake, and teared eyes would roll and hands would take wing, and Holy Spirit of the Lord would take me and use me and cleanse me and free me, and legs would jackknife and feet stomp sanctuary floor, and saints sing and shout, and preacher make cross sign on body with handkerchief and anoint brow with holy oil, and tears run rivers and back arch and trance of ghost possession, and trump thunder rolls and lightning strikes in head, and even the rocks cry out, and wet lips testify sanctified praises and unknown tongues.
Go ahead.
Long lean brothers weave vocal kente colors in air. Something hit me. Familiar hot chill seizes spine. Tambourine spells wrap soul and aura of ghosts. Voices of the living and the never dead, drenched in wisdom of a thousand years, call my name, seep healing and power into blood. Voices more potent than dead stones of dead ballroom, signifying death deep in concrete desert. Malcolm voice mingles with grandma voice, mingles with mama and daddy voice. Seek to the east, reach deep, go on, boy. Let holy rhythms take you to source, high in mountain of black gods, of river, sacred source of power. Go on, boy. Don't tarry among dead stones. Seek the living soil and spread seeds. Go on, saint. Go on, black heart angel. Go on with your big sphinx no self. Go on, sun child. Move.
Oh. Rashida Ismaili.
This is a poem called Remembrance, and actually this poem is remembrance of a lot of things, but it was written based on a trip that I shared with Amiri and his son Ras, and so it is also in tribute to him, who I see as carrying on in a positive way the legacy of Malcolm. It's called Remembrance 4. This is the time of the Huris, who come in blinding sand dance and ride wave, palm tree high. Our tongues are hung on rose bushes, hidden among fragrant blossoms to mask rotting smells of curled and lifeless sponges, which carry neither word nor song. We are left without a language. Our words are in fetters, armies of tuning forks, ping in the evening, and become lullabies our orphans sing. Ah, words we had once were only fit to speak of a lover's gaze or hide a rendezvous in hidden messages. Better our tongues rot and disappear. Grateful our mouths are reduced to guttural noises reserved for primitives. These designs called writings are approximates in a language we are unable to translate, the silent flappings of lips without tongues, mouths without speech, a head without ears. Children with no parents are not expected to learn the mysteries of the past. It is in the presence of Gorée, the statement of its crumbling walls, gaping holes, and ever-present sea, that we can say in safety, times have indeed passed, and we are fragmented reality, looking for a language to give historical significance to a moment horror must negate. Ah, Gorée, you are a child at play with the sea, the chilling sea. The water is so cold, the sharks are so receptive, the wave song so loud. I cannot hear you, mother. South Africa is so far away. Time does not stand still. The sea foam asks my hand in play, and I am a lonely child left alone in the townships while you go sailing on the sea. Agoré, you it is who have seen so much, heard the silence pain can make while imprisoning the voice and song. But I wish to sit in the sun and rock myself to sleep. The voices of the millions unnamed cry out and beg to be named and remembered. Ah, Gorée, you can I would swim out to you, but the water is so cold. The last poem is called Expectant, and it is dedicated to Malcolm. The reference in here about not yet Uhuru during the days of the 60s when many African countries were becoming independent. The cry was for Uhuru, and then there was the statement when one realized that we were caught in the midst of neocolonialism. It was then said, not yet Uhuru. Mm-hmm. When will bells peal with joy, wedding lives and birds of hope? This monotonous clang of steel against steel, hammering, pounding, shouting, not yet Uhuru. I want to return to our waiting dead. I want to see you still and expectant. I want to ride the wind and hear your love song, but I can't and you can't. The bells clamor, not yet, not yet, Uhuru. In the cries of grieving mothers, in lonely jail cells where uncertainty marks time slipping, moment from moment, our destiny is home. There is death marching in the streets. I am unable to slow down the beat of heartfelt passion and bloodthirst vengeance, not yet, Uhuru. There is a singing in the air and death rides on the wings of birds frozen in the sky, not yet, Uhuru. Jowls of well-fed faces tinked beneath an innocent sun, flapping mouths uttering, not yet, Uhuru. Time speeds faster in the space of bullet to body. Rapid repeat fire and stones confronting guns say, not yet, Uhuru. War councils in private chambers in this topsy-turvy era of might and right impresses on minds set in their ways. They say, not yet, Uhuru. Blackened faces tired yet singing, keep marching on, keep praying on. They say, not yet, Uhuru. The old woman says, and that schoolboy, what thing you go say? You think say I be Santa, oh? Yourself, you know say I be at all. When you see snake grab chick, and the mother say, left you, and the snake give back she born. Me, and they say, Uhuru no be there. And then I look and see my father dressed in battle gear. His horse is mounted. He is in white and purple. His face is painted and he is guarded by countless Yawadudu. You, my father, bullet na break your heart. And he, this man, my black-skinned father, pulls his gem-studded sword and stands proud. Father, you need a shield. He says, I get power from the ancestor. They them come to me in a dream. They them say we must fight. And I stare and stare at this simple man. His beauty and bravery no match for present-day warfare of machine and plane. There are so few gentle men left. Father, Babu, if you don't get gun and airplanes, you go die. All go die. And this man, this black-skinned man, says to me under the swaths of purple wound around his head, the old ones say, on this day we go fight, we go win. They say, not yet, Uhuru. I return to my house ashamed and afraid. My door is locked against my hand, and as I see dust rise, hear death sing in the wingspan of planes, I race to join the old man with black skin and a gem-studded sword, and I say, not yet, Uhuru.
Tony Medina. These two pieces are in the spirit of Malcolm. The first piece, the title is taken from an Albert Ayler song. You can substitute the word truth for Malcolm. Truth is marching in. From the red playbacks of slaves in fields, in factories, on street corners, on stoops, sweaty velvet beaded tombstone graves, white cotton cloth on a purple marble face, from the bloody, rusty hands of macheteros trapped in sun in stalks all day to buy some bread for the children, sleeping spoons on a muddy mat. From the rickety boats of Haitian emigres who run from exploitation and inequality and poverty in their native land only to meet the head of the monster and roll straight through its mouth. Out of the refried head of an overdosed corpse, collapsed heart, mushroom brain, dehydrated veins slipping from its roots. Out of the tiny bowels of hungry, abandoned babies, screaming, kicking, open-mouth wail, sirens begging out into the endless night.
out of the frozen eyes of old women forced to eat canned cat food off their social security checks, left supine on wooden floors, alone, familyless, unburied. Out of the angry, uncompromising mouths of workers and paupers and prophets and poets. From the sweat and blood and tears of centuries of work and struggle, truth is marching in, truth is marching in to wipe out the murder and famine, to unarm the disassemblers of peace and reason, to house the homeless and put the jobless to work, to teach the uneducated, feed the hungry, bathe the dirty, clothe the naked, warm the cold, hold the lonely, love the loveless, and place humans back on the altar of humanity.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
To close, capitalism is a brutal motherfucker.
Somebody's telling me that I'm a worthless piece of shit. Somebody's telling me that I'm a low-down, dirty dog. Who can it be? Who can it be that's telling me? What do a 400-year-old cracker cost? What do a 400-year-old cracker cost? Your life, motherfucker. Your life. Assalamu alaikum. They keep bombing and napalming. We too busy assalaming and alaikuming while they bombing and napalming. Assalam, assalam, assalam alaikum. Shut the fuck up and pass me the bacon. Diet not gonna kill we, nah. We be crypto nitro, crippled back, twisted bed bug rage, immune to what's been going down, what bees going down, pouring down on we head like acid rain for the brain. We eats poison, we likes poison, we Mikey, we eat anything. We old man with penniless pension, poop booty chick for check for Cisco and cognac and cigarettes and beer and lotto. Don't forget the lotto for your ass, though you pushing 70 with a bum leg and one lung. Gotta pay for that pacemaker white man charge you for after he done fucked up your air. Whitey charged for everything, even coaxed you to get Medicaid, pocket money for the young buck bureaucratic exploits. Poisoned and poisoning, poisoned and poisoning, full of the white man's lies and doo-doo. Brownstone buffies lost and fucked up beleaguered snot-nosed dogs. Puppy poo-poo, gibberish laid out on the bearskin parquet floor, scratching and salivating and panting like licking white hoes' legs, Geraldo Rivera style, waiting for a new movie to define your reality. Hooked up show-me babies glued to a tube, frosted flake, new jack belly ache, with big-ass suitcases for earrings and a eight-ball jacket bullseye, giving proof to the lie, giving price to the mind's eye, the eye in us. Stamped out alone, distorted material worshippers, making white cops' jobs easier. Eight ball jacket full of shit, shielding piece of worthless crap. Bullseye, bullseye, I want, bullshit lie, bullshit lie. Lay down and die, I want, lay down, new jack hustler. Sellout rustler, constipated dead dreamer, dreaming up a new lie reality, dreaming up the money monger madness of material worship and sellout lackey temptation. Eat shit and die, poison, rabies, cobweb flies. Stuck in the corner of the world, stuck in the corner of a war called America, land of 0.6%, rich and masses of poor, oppressed, hungry, screaming, ugly-ass woogies, wild hair, snot, and madness, dizzy with stomach growls and tears, drowning in a cesspool of fears. Whip, show enough, que pasa, mommies? Show me some leg and thigh, oh, hot Latin freak, jigaboo, for Shears and Lehman, for IBM, for Sears and Roebuck, for Anne Klein and Heinz ketchup, a new ketchup to go with them. Fries you selling for McDonald's, McDaddy's, McBoom Boom, and Whip Whip. Shut up, slave, and serve the motherfucking dinner. After you scrub my bathroom floor with your tongue. After you wipe my mother's old, wrinkled, flabby pair of red-dotted, pruny, spotted ass. After you take my baby out for an afternoon stroll. Or would you rather be back on that island, hiking up your skirt for us tourists? Show me, baby. Show me, baby, how you serve up some red meat and cyanide. Show me how you wipe that old bitch's ass with sandpaper and itching powder. How you stroll that little white devil, would-be capitalist, would-be racist, would-be exploiter and imperialist, into the Harlem River belly up with the dead fish and condoms. Show me, baby. Show me how you slit that white motherfucker's throat. How you tear that old face dick off with your teeth and serve it to him in his soup.
Show me like that old wine of Jesus showed me the other day on the 3 train going to Brooklyn, drunk and stumbly rushed with the wind. Show me how like he showed me with his dancing eyes and bloated feet, yelling at nobody and yelling at everybody, don't fuck with me, you 40-year-old cracker, don't fuck with me, you ain't shit, you ain't shit. And we hear you, old man, prophet, warrior, beaten down, booted out, stomped on, crushed back, stubborn, old age rage. We hear you, we hear you. Oh, God. And we times that 40 with 10. We be scientists, we be mathematicians, we analyze and know that 40 times 10 is 400. A 400-year-old cracker fucking with our head and livelihood. A 400-year-old cracker called capitalism. And capitalism be on our ass. Capitalism be on our ass like hot breath of dog snapping at our fluttering, bleeding bowels buried in the snow of white supremacy. And this won't cleanse us. And this won't heal us. And this won't save us, and Jesus won't save us, and Allah won't save us. 1,000 Jehovah Witness selling the same magazine won't save us. And humming Buddha motherfuckers won't save us. And turbans and sandals and braids and sheets and oils and candles and perfume and shit won't save us. Dances and jackets and earrings and hairstyles and hairdos and high top fades and Nike sneakers and Michael Jordan and a new lie relaxed Spike Lee flick won't save us. A club full of bumping, grinding, boogaloo, and woogies won't save us, lest we doing the death dance on Whitey's economic head. And the young and the restless won't save us. And big ass bourgeois Oprah and horse teeth Arsenio won't save us. And half Jew Geraldo won't save us. Not Elvis, the new Jesus. Not that dumb bitch Barbara Walters and that constipated motherfucker William Buckley. And all the dumbass weak shit that America has to offer won't save us. But us. And science, and machine guns, and heart, and love of life, and love of people, and love for peace, and love, and love, and love will save us. Revolution will save us. Revolution will save us. Revolution will save us. Zaid Muhammad.
See, that's why they took our drum from us. Give it up again for Tony McGinn. This is a real, real honor to be here celebrating this maximum ancestor and with some maximum veterans of struggle that I have always looked up to and inspired what I try to do. The piece that I'm going to do is called The Blue and Boogie Comeback for Malcolm X and Ahi Baraka. And Ahi is not physically here today. He's somewhere else bringing the noise. Ahi is Amirian Amina's youngest son and Iras's baby brother and somebody very, very dear to us. And I'm saying this by way of background because I think it's important to mention because it was Malcolm that raised the question of genocide for our generation. And in the crossfire of genocide, in June of last year, we almost lost this young brother. Some drug dealers misbehaving and mishandling some weapons accidentally shot this young brother in his head. And by the grace of our ancestors, Allah, and whatever you believe in, the spiritual and the serious, this young brother survived and in his temporary handicap even continued to inspire us, you know. And it was a real, real challenge. An incredible moment for us. And like I said, he's out here in these streets somewhere making some more noise. So, and very much in the tradition of Malcolm, we got an Ahi. I want to also mention that the other catalyst for this particular offering is our political prisoners and prisoners of war. Yeah, that's right, give it up. Because see, they're not here. They would love to be here with us as we do this, but because of imperialism, because of repression, right here, you ain't got to go to Azania to look for action. We got some serious struggle to do right here. We got political prisoners we need to build a movement around, and I would hope that the organizers of this would think next year that we do this, that we would have the question of U.S. political prisoners and prisoners of war in a more central way. Because if there's one thing that we can learn from our people in South Africa, if they made the question of political prisoners central to their struggle, we need to do the same thing. That is the only thing that will free our political prisoners and prisoners of war. So this is called The Blue and Boogie Comeback for Malcolm X and Ahi Baraka, and I need y'all to help me do this. You know we got Too Black, Too Strong for Malcolm. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. Message to the grassroots. That's where we got Too Black, Too Strong from. And if y'all don't know that, you know now. So at a particular point, I need y'all to repeat after me. Let's do a quick rehearsal. Too Black.
Too Too strong.
Too strong.
Steady ready. Carrying on.
Carry on.
Too black.
Too black.
Too strong.
Too strong.
Steady ready.
Steady right.
Carrying on. So when
Carry
I get
on.
To so when I get to that, y'all know what to do, right? Mm-hmm. All right. The piece begins with a quote, and I think y'all gonna recognize it. We declare our right on this earth to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
That's right.
Malcolm X, June 28th, 1964, Audubon Ballroom. With the blue and boogie, we're coming back, Malcolm. Coming back. Coming back like you did from the dead of self-hate. Like you did from your father being lynched, from your family being butchered and auctioned off by the state. Like you did from them driving your mother crazy, from them starving your family dizzy. Like you came back, a man with a mission. Like you came back. Came back from having your potential paralyzed by racist miseducators. Came back from gambling, from numbers running, from prostitution, from armed robbery and drugs. Like you came back from frying your hair, from pink Cadillac.